Well, today we continue our gospel journey through Mark, a gospel that we'll be journeying with through much of the summer and even into the fall a bit, but mostly the summer. So please stay in touch with the gospel of Mark as we preach through the gospel of Mark this summer. Today's gospel passage leads us on a two-for-one journey of healing through Mark chapter 5. And a few weeks ago, I noted a literary structure in Mark called the Markan sandwich, where Mark often sandwiches pieces in between each other. And so this is yet another Markan sandwich in the Gospel of Mark. Two stories within one story. We start with Jesus and Jairus, and then we're interrupted by this unnamed woman. And then in the midst of both of these stories and these two daughters, we are encouraged to get up, to get on. And so for us in this season after Pentecost, thinking about getting up and getting on, I hope that resonates with you. I hope it encourages you. We've been talking over the past few weeks about being FPC, just considering that, First Pentecostal Church, which is kind of radical for Baptists, but really trying to take to heart Acts chapter 2, where the people of God were speaking prophetically to one another, where the people of God were sharing what they were seeing in new visions, where the people of God were, thirdly, speaking prophetically, sharing visions, and thirdly, dreaming dreams. I didn't forget. I was testing you to see if you're still conscious on July 1st. And so we've been talking about what does it mean or what does it sound like or how do we share with one another when we are being First Pentecostal Church. And for the rest of the weeks in the season after Pentecost, the several weeks that are in this church season, we're just trying to experiment with that. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? And one of the quotes that I've been quoting over the past few weeks is from our one of the church calendars that many of us use. And in that church calendar, there's this phrase that in the season of Pentecost, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are freed from fear. And that phrase has really stuck with me, and some of you have mentioned that to me in the past few weeks too. We are freed from fear. And so in this season after Pentecost, as we speak prophetically to one another, as we open our hearts to see new visions, as we try to dream dreams and allow the dream of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, how are we freed from fear in that movement? And so with that freed from fear feeling or mindset in our hearts and our minds, let's enter into today's story from Gospel of Mark. Today's gospel starts with Jairus, this religious leader who seems to have a softer heart towards Jesus than other religious leaders that we've seen so far in the Gospel of Mark. We read as early as chapter 3, verse 6, that the religious leaders are plotting to kill Jesus. So it's hopeful when we read of Jairus in verse 24, and we read of Jesus' response to Jairus' earnest plea. And then he starts on his way to Jairus' house to provide healing or prayer for Jairus' daughter. And on the way, the story quickly turns sideways because of this hemorrhaging woman who literally stops Jesus in his tracks. This woman acts in desperation, seeing Jesus as her only hope. And if you can imagine what's going on here, there's probably 100 or 150 people swarming around Jesus. He's back in his hometown area, and so the crowds press in. And so imagine all of us swarmed around Jesus, except we're in this dusty, gritty area of Jesus' hometown, sweating. It's hot. It's humid. And this woman, who is an outcast, presses in and comes behind Jesus and lunges. Can you imagine? She'd have to lunge at him. And she grabs onto his cloak and maybe holds onto it for just 1 or 2 or 3 seconds. And then she's probably thrown to the ground and left in the dust. And so as she tries to reorient, we read in verse 29 that she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And for some reason, Jesus stops and he asks this ridiculous question, who touched my clothes? And in this crowd of 150 puzzled faces, Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. And so in the midst of this mob, this unnamed yet probably known in the neighborhood woman speaks out. She tells Jesus the whole truth. That's a verse that I hope you'll hang on to this week. She tells Jesus the whole truth, and Jesus' response to this unnamed outcast woman is, daughter, daughter, daughter. She names her as a beloved and says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so I wondered if we might just ponder for a moment, are we being made well alongside of this daughter? Are we a people going in peace? And maybe even as you live into the story today, you'll be challenged to stand in the story with this broken woman and perhaps reacquaint yourselves with times where you have been made well, where Jesus has named you as a daughter, named you as a son, made you well so that you might go in peace. And for us at First Baptist Church or First Pentecostal Church in this season, our vision and mission statement is seeking the peace and well-being of the city. And I wonder, as we seek the peace and well-being of the city, even as we go forth in these lazy days of summer, I hope that we go from this place of strength, this place of being made well, this place of being named as beloved son, beloved daughter. Go in peace. Seek the peace and well-being of the city. I'm going to give you 15 seconds to rest in that place, to hear your name as beloved daughter, as beloved son, being affirmed once again in your healing and accepting this challenge to be sent in peace. Let's pause for 15 seconds. Now, we could end the story there, but we're not finished our sandwich. There's another daughter story that is here in this healing story, the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus. And Jairus, like this hemorrhaging woman, acts in desperation and sees Jesus as his only hope. He says in verse 23, my little daughter is at point of death. Lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And yet when we come back into the Jairus story in verse 35, the house servants have come to Jairus and said, your daughter is dead. And yet in the face of death, Jesus proclaims this hope. Perhaps it's a foreshadowing of his own resurrection. He says to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. And in the face of mocking laughter, Jesus takes his inner circle of disciples. He goes into the room of Jairus' daughter, takes the mom and the dad, and practices resurrection, raises this daughter from the dead. Do not fear, only believe. It's an amazing story, is it not? And these healing stories seem so wonderful, and yet for us as a group of Christians 2,000 years later, we've seen many ways that healing doesn't always happen. Or maybe ways that we've earnestly prayed or earnestly pleaded with Jesus and the healing didn't come about. And so the challenge for us, even as we keep on moving forward as First Pentecostal Church, is do we have the guts, do we have the nerves to consider ourselves as a healing place, to stand alongside this woman, to stand alongside Jairus, this religious leader, and hear the words of Jesus exhorting us to be made well, exhorting us to go in peace, to not fear, to only believe. And in your bulletins this morning, you have this little colored sheet. And so as we close with our text this morning, maybe what helps us understand of our being made well is to look back to help us look forward. And so you've each got a sheet, and I don't know if you've all got pen and paper, but maybe you could jot something down now, or maybe you could take this with you this week to sit with and ponder. How have you been made well? And maybe part of remembering how we've been made well is to think, great is thy faithfulness. And the lamentation scripture that we've already heard might help us in that as well. The steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies never come to an end. Those mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so during times of silence, maybe even during the times of communion silence today, when we're passing the communion cups or passing the bread, God might be bringing things to mind, reminding us of how we have been made well, reminding us of God's faithfulness. Maybe when we were desperate, maybe when we were broken, maybe when we were needy, marginalized, on the outside looking in. And you might jot something down that might grant you strength as you move forward. Because we need these memories. We need the spiritual companionship. We need to hear these Seen the Lord stories to help us move forward as a people with faith and a people with a future. And we even need sacred practices and ritual like the communion table, the table of the Lord. And that's why coming to the table of the Lord is a way that we can also receive healing. We can't lunge at Jesus' hem of his garment anymore, but we can, in practical and mystical ways, touch the body and blood of Christ. We can take in the body of Christ. We can take in the blood of Christ. And even as we take in that today in this practical, symbolic sense as Baptists, but maybe as we join the wider Christian community that also remembers this as a very mystical, miraculous thing, that we take in Christ. And in taking Christ into our bodies, we might actually, even this morning, experience anew healing, hope, transformation, grace, strength, and mercy for the journey. And so as we close with prayer, I want to give you a few seconds of silence to prepare. But let's pray that this place, this community of faith, would continue to be a healing place, a place where nobodies are named as beloved daughters and beloved sons, a place where religious uppity-ups just like us recognize our desperate need for Jesus' healing, a place where all people experience this being made well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please pray with me a moment of silence to remember us being made well and God's faithfulness. Lord of the universe, master of all, look in love upon your people. Pour the healing oil of your compassion on a world that is wounded and dying. And send us out in search of the lost, to comfort the afflicted, to bind up the broken, and to free those trapped under the rubble of their fallen dreams. Oh Lord Jesus, remind us that we are being made well, even in this time and in this season. Great is your faithfulness. Amen.